What is going on? You are listening to Tags Podcast, aka Talk About Gay Sex Podcast, celebrating 6 years of sex positivity in the podcast realm. This is episode 447, and I am your host, Stevie, in Las Vegas. More on that, joined by co-host Jeremy Ross Lopez. How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm good. How are you?
Really, really good. Really good. And of course, rounding out our lovely equation today is Cody Maurice Doggett. How the hell you doing, Cody?
Hello, darling. I'm the cosine. Yes.
Exactly.
Good. How are y'all doing?
Good, good.
Very
good.
Nice.
I trust you had a great time, Jeremy, following your Instagram stories in Florida. What part of Florida were you in?
I went to visit my cousins that live in Naples, and it was just a lot of sun and a lot of fun.
Nice. I saw that, and so nice. I'm sure you came back to some different conditions of weather.
Of course.
Yeah. I am in Vegas right now finishing up. Oh, actually, it finished the Podcast Movement Conference. Learned so much here. Met so many great people. Oh my gosh, great time here. One of the highlights here was going to Dre's nightclub for one of the parties, and I met some great people. Of course, I met a friend that I hung out with the whole time. He's straight, of course, but we had a great time and hung out the whole time, which was super fun. Saw RuPaul's Drag Race live, which
so
was
jealous.
So good. I know. I knew you would be, Cody.
I'm so jealous. Sorry, I can't contain myself.
So just to give you guys, people that love Drag Race, we got to see in our segment, because they have more drag queens in the show than they put on each night, because it's a 7 day a week show. So we got Georges, Derek Barry, Jada Essence Hole, Aquaria, Fabulous. And the one, who was the last person that I can't remember? Alexis Mateo was the other one. Yeah. And the MC was Asia O'Hara, which she was so funny and hilarious. Fun note, afterwards, we went to the club here, Piranha, afterwards, which was a lot of fun. I think, Jeremy, you and I went to it when we were here too. It's like the only major club.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Some highlights included seeing one of the performers that I just mentioned. Who did I just mention that I saw?
Alexis Mateo.
Thank you. I cannot remember her name. I'm so bad at these. Alexis Mateo showed up after, and I went up to her. We were dancing on the Latin dance floor, and I said, I just saw you live. You were amazing. And she like put her hand out, and so it was really sweet and fun. And then the other highlight was, it must have been G-string night, because all the bartenders that have like sexy bodies and all of the shop boys were running around in these thongs that were so yummy, one after the next. So highly recommend seeing RuPaul's Drag Race live and going to Piranha. And the next time you're in Vegas, it's such a good time. Highly recommend it. All right. We have so much to get into. Did you guys watch the Oscars, Jeremy?
I didn't. No, I watched some recaps and stuff, and I saw some of the red carpet looks. It looked like an amazing night, though.
Yeah, and actually, I watched it here in the hotel room, and it actually was very succinct, and all of my favorites won. I know you'll appreciate this, Cody. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once won. Not only Michelle Yeoh, the film won as well. So did Jamie Lee Curtis. And I think what's great about it is that, well, A, you called it out. You watched this movie when it first came out, I think the week it came out. So what did you love about all that, seeing representation?
That's amazing. She's the Michelle Yeoh is the second person of color to win Best Actress, which is crazy in 95 years of Oscar. So I think that that's a monumentous moment that happened, and I'm so happy for her. I'm a little bit sad that Stephanie Hsu or Angela Bassett didn't win for Best Supporting, but you know what? Jamie Lee Curtis is fabulous, so I love her. So I'm glad she won. Yeah, but it's a great night all around.
great night all around. Love the fashion, of course. Lady Gaga was really spectacular and kind of took off all her look in a very streamlined look with no makeup to sing the song from Top Gun. And she was really amazing. If you haven't seen that, Jeremy, I know you're a big fan. You should watch her performance because it was really awesome.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Check that out for sure. And then, of course, director Daniel Scheinert. Am I saying that right, Cody? The director of Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, did a good shout out to drag and how his mother let him dress up in drag. And that should be the least of everyone's problems, as he is now an Oscar winner. And showing that proof is look at him now. So I love that shout out. I thought that was really great. Okay. Well, good night for Oscars. You know, we love it when you talk back to us here on Tags Podcast. And one of them comes from somebody that we may meet in person when they come to New York, who goes by Sinfully.
Oh, yeah.
Wrote into us recently based on some topics that we had. And one of them was when we were talking about Austin Wolfe and his body count. Body count meaning how many people. He was asked a question on the red carpet for an awards show for porn on how many people has he slept with. And how much did he estimate, Cody, that he had slept with to date?
7,000? Something like that. Yeah. Around that ballpark. I mean, after the first 1,000, does it really? It's like all the same number.
I think you're right. And Sinfully, regarding that, said, I would say my body count is like around 3,000 or so. Okay. I did the math. He says, in over 25 years that I have been having sex and dividing that by 12 months a year, it averages out to about 10 guys a month. We sort of gave our body count on this, Jeremy, but what if you had to say, could you even contemplate how many people you've slept with?
I don't really know. And I think that also it's for me, it's never consistent because I have like fluctuations of from being single. Like I'll have like sex with a bunch of people in a few months and then not any. So it's hard for me to like divvy it up and figure it out. And just living in New York for 10 years, it's like, it's, I don't know. I couldn't pinpoint like an exact number.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you on that. I gave around definitely in the thousand, I believe somewhere in the thousands. I don't know where though. And like you, I have periods of time when I've been more sexually active. And like I said recently on the cruise, I made up for lost time, my goodness, with the red light district and all. But my last two trips that I've been on, I've been more of a not drier spell, just wasn't that kind of a trip. Interesting in referencing Austin and, of course, this listener, Sinfully Good, they both seem to have an equation based on they have sex several times per month. So just interesting how we all come to that number. But I am with you, Cody, in that it's, once it gets past 1,000, who can count anymore, right?
I know, right? And I only said 300, so I must be practically a virgin then, right?
Yeah, somewhere like that. Something not like quite. That. Not quite. Not quite, bitch. He also wanted to comment on, we were talking about a new study that says, scientists say that coming 21 times per month could actually help with things like prostate cancer and be good for you. So what did Sinfully Good say? He says, as far as coming 21 times a month for me, the longer I go without coming, the more energized I feel. It's like a constant state of arousal, if that makes sense. I really get into edging and will do it for several days before I let myself come, because when I do come, I have multiple orgasms and I shoot a really huge load. Ooh. It has also built up my sexual stamina, and I can go for hours. When I do come, it usually takes a couple of days to get back to my normal energy levels, and I kind of feel like I'm in a funk during that time. You know, I responded back to Sinfully Good saying that, you know, I'm going to practice that, because sometimes I think maybe I shoot my load too much, and I can relate to that energy drop, and I wouldn't mind being in a constant state of arousal. What's your thoughts on this? We didn't get to cue you in on this, Jeremy. Do you know how many times a month you come? Is it a lot?
It's definitely like probably twice a day at least.
Oh, wow.
And I could not hold out. Like, I would not be able to go days and days without it. It definitely helps my mood and helps like my just productivity in general. And yeah, I just am a chronic masturbator.
That's what I was saying too.
Self-identified. I love it. Yeah. We were talking about, Cody and I, about how it can help our mood at times. But the thing, after reading that Sinfully Good and an upcoming guest that we're going to have on Wednesday, Craig Coolinane, who's going to be talking about porn and how you can do a 30-day challenge to kind of release yourself from that, I might kind of monitor my coming throughout the day and see how it goes, or week, month.
Okay.
We'll see after we have him on as a guest, but no commitments. Right. I didn't sign on the dotted line yet.
You're like not even trying to put that out into there. You're like, yeah, I'm going to see.
Exactly.
It's hilarious.
Well, we all know that there is so much against anti-drag bills that is going on in this country, and I couldn't help but see the number of people that are speaking out against it, from celebrities, and the latest comes from RuPaul, who says that RuPaul condemns anti-drag bills, says queens are queer world's marines. The host of Drag Race posted a video on Instagram last week lambasting the politicians who are targeting the community, especially transgender people and drag queens. And instead of addressing the real problems facing Americans, he said, hey, look over here, he said. People will know the Jada Essence.
Yep.
Classic line, a classic distraction technique, distracting us away from the real issues that they were voting into office to focus on. Things like jobs, healthcare, keeping our children safe from harm at their own school. But we all know that bullies are incompetent at solving real issues. They look for easy targets. And he also went on to say, drag queens are the Marines of the queer movement. He continued, don't get it twisted and don't be distracted. Register to vote so we can get these stunt queens out of office and put some smart people with real solutions into government. And by the way, a social media post has never been as powerful as a registered vote. I like that. To piggyback off of that, I opened up an email today from Nasty Pig. By the way, I love their underwear. I'm wearing them today. The best underwear, in my opinion. The CEO wrote this letter. He wrote a letter that he was going to send to all the followers of Nasty Pig to kind of promote his 2023 collection, Elevate. But when I woke up to the news on March 3rd that Tennessee had passed the first anti-drag bill in the country, I scrapped that letter and wrote a new one, urging you all to understand the gravity of this legislation and how it affects our whole queer community. But we could send out that later. That letter news came out about a host from the Daily Wire calling out for the eradication of transgenderism. And I went to write a new letter, but I found myself unable to address each additional horrifying new development. So rather than attempt to speak on the ever-changing present state of attacks on LGBTQ plus rights, I want to share a very personal story. He wrote, when I was 11 years old, my Jewish grandmother sat me down in our living room to explain something to me about my identity. Living in New York, she prayed I would never encounter the hatred that my ancestors experienced. But she made it clear that people around the world would hate me just for being Jewish. When I asked why this was so, she said it was because I was different, and that was enough of a reason for bigoted people to find hatred in their hearts. She then said to me, there is nothing you can do about it. This is how you were born. So never hide your truth. If people come to like you for who you pretend to be, they will hate you just the same when they find out who you actually are. And finally, he wrote, no matter how you identify yourself as an individual, if you are part of the LGBTQ plus community, I urge you to stand with every single one of our queer siblings. You may not look like those under attack, but an attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. Bigotry won't stop until we all stand up against together. Yours in sodomy, David Lauterstein. I love that. I mean, it really does feel like an attack, Jeremy, when you hear all of this. And we might not be in the transgender or drag world, but don't you feel like we should all be standing up and sharing our voice for what's going on in the country?
Definitely. And I think that it's really like scary that it's happening, and you have to stand up for people that are part of our community and that we have as entertainers. And I just feel like they need a safe place and a safe space to be able to perform and just like be on TV and on our shows and everything. And it's scary that the legislation that's taking place is just even happening in real life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Cody, it was so beautiful just to see Drag Race among all the shows here in Vegas, from David Copperfield to Barry Manilow, who's gay, by the way. but to see just Loud and Proud Drag Race. And when we all spilled out after into the casino, we went into the, we took over the bathrooms, and there was all these straight guys were like, what just let out? And I shouted out, Drag Race. I couldn't help myself. I just had to. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, they didn't know what to, kind of dumbfoundedly, but I was like, no, I'm not going to. I had this bite of the tongue that I almost wanted to like, not say anything, but I had to say it, Drag Race, because at least, you know, we need to get the word out there that a major show just let out and stuff. Well, what are your thoughts on what's going on in the country and people like the CEO of Nasty Pig and RuPaul or, and other celebrities are really voicing their concern over this?
Well, first, I just want to commend you because, you know, we all have to start speaking our truth, and that is how people will become more accustomed to queer people and people that are not like themselves. So thank you very much for speaking out and being loud and proud, Steve.
You're welcome.
I think that on this topic, a lot of people were waiting for RuPaul to speak out because she is mother. She is the queen of drag always. So I'm so glad that RuPaul came out and said something, because if mother doesn't say anything, then it looks like what is going on is okay in the world of drag, and it definitely is not. I am so happy that the, because I got this letter too, so I'm so ecstatic that the president of Nasty Pig came out and said what he said, because you may not think that this applies to you because you're not a drag queen or you're not a transgender person, but as soon as they get what they want from the weakest or the most vulnerable part of our community, they're going to come to the next person on their list. And that very may well be us next. So stand up for those that you think, well, I know that I have a lot in common with them, but that you think that you don't have anything in common with, because if we stand in solidarity, then that makes us less of a target.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Absolutely. Well stated on that. Yeah. We'll keep posting on who's standing up for our rights and who's taking, potentially taking them away, which seems to be a new story about this every single day. All right. Moving on to a person that I'm becoming a really big fan of, Lucas Gage. And many of you might know him from White Lotus season one. He is just one of my favorite people right now. He's in You. Jeremy, are you watching the current season? I know
of
you like.
Of course. Yes. I have one episode left.
Okay, so you know who Lucas Gage is.
Then. And I have a big crush on him and think he's gorgeous.
Me too. He's so fun. He is cute. And, you know.
And I just saw that I don't know if it's a rumor or what, and I'm sure you've already seen it, but that he's dating Kim and J-Lo's hairstylist.
That's what we're about to talk about. Yeah. Oh. Okay, so let me break it down a little bit. Well, two things about him. Actor Lucas Gage opened up about not labeling his sexuality. He recently opened up about not labeling his sexuality, and he also revealed that an agent who dropped him once told him to pick a lane. An agent dropped me and said, stop dyeing your hair, stop wearing weird clothes, and pick a lane, gay, bi, or straight. It's too confusing. So funny how the times have changed, because when I was trying to be an actor in the late 90s, it wasn't like pick a lane. It was like butch it up and just be straight. Now it's like they don't, if you are, they want you to actually pick something in the acronym, but he doesn't necessarily need to. He's 27, and he admitted in an interview with the New York Times, sharing that he feels pressure all the time to identify with a certain LGBTQ+ label. I understand representation and voices that need to be heard, but I don't want to do anything on anyone's accord but my own. Let me do it when I'm ready. And it's acting it's acting. I feel like everyone should get the opportunity to play whatever they want. And if they want to think that they can, I'm pretty open book about most things in my life, but I have a problem with the culture of everyone needing to know everyone's business and nothing can be sacred. It's a weird line that I'm still trying to figure out. And then in another recent, because he's in the news lately, Perez Hilton tried to draw some shade on Lucas, saying something like, somebody needs to tell this dude he's not as famous as he thinks he is, regarding Lucas Cage. And Lucas clapped back and said, somebody needs to tell this dude that nobody has read his blog since 2009, which I love. And yes. But back to what you were saying in a recent tweet, this is so Perez Hilton shared an article that Lucas Cage had addressed the ongoing Chris Appleton dating rumors. And that's when blogger or nobody, Perez Hilton, ooh, came on to say that snarky remark. But I hope they are dating. I don't really care if he is. I mean, what's your thoughts on Jeremy, on him just claiming that he doesn't have to tell anyone where he is right now?
I love it. I think it's great for him. And I think that he's right about the fact that I think when you're a star or when you're in Hollywood, it's expected that everyone just know and air out all of your business. And I think that Perez Hilton needs to take several seats.
Yeah, I think
he's
absolutely
just a jealous, bitter old queen is what he is.
And I thought he changed his ways there for a minute. Not that
I don't
ever
think so. I think that he acted like he was going to be nicer, and I don't think that he has that in him. And I think he's still just as nasty and crude as he was before. He's just not as overweight as he used to be.
You okay? Right.
Read, honey.
Yeah, the reading room is still open. I love it.
He really irks me, and he's so nasty all the time. And he just used to say a lot of really mean things about everyone.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel bad for him. And I love that Lucas just fired right back. And him and Chris Appleton are like so hot together. If they are together, and if they're not, they're sexy ass friends too.
Yeah, I agree. I had to go watch their videos because it was really sexy. And how are you going to come after Lucas Cage, Cody?
Right? That's so crazy. Let people have their own personal life. Let somebody keep something for themselves. Being on this show, I'm not anywhere near as famous as any of the people that we have listed thus far. But I mean, we come on here and we speak our truths. But so I think that there is a part of me that I am not willing to give away, if that makes sense, because I feel like there should be something that I should just be able to keep for myself. I should be able to have a private life, and I want to give Lucas Gage his private life and Chris Appleton his private life. We don't have to be out here telling everything to everybody. Look at Sade. She is one of the most famous people that I know of, and she lives a very private life out there in the world. So I think,
and I think
something for yourself.
Right. And I think he's definitely giving us some little tidbit bites. I think which I think is lovely. Omar Apollo, who I keep talking about on the show because I'm just in love with him as well. Singer Omar Apollo has done that in the past with other guys too. But, you know, I just think they're throwing us a little breadcrumb here and there, and we are here to bite, I tell you. And so, yeah, leave them alone and let them do their thing. It's that time. Well, we love to give advice on this show, and we love it when you write in. And recently, G.A. Dog wrote in and wanted not necessarily advice, but wanted to give a take on a theory he had. Let me read, and you'll understand in a second. In the age of PrEP and volunteers of information, do you think we can stop calling condomless sex unprotected sex and start calling it natural sex? Unprotected infers an uninformed danger when everyone knows the risks of natural sex. What are your thoughts on switching this terminology? It was an interesting one. I had to kind of think a little bit about this one, and I'm glad we got it ahead of time. Cody, what were your thoughts on the switch? Like, is what he's talking about, unprotected sex, no longer relevant?
Well, I can see what he's trying to point out here. I think that unprotected leaves a certain taste in your mouth that is not, oh, pun intended. right? That is, it can kind of put like a damper on it. I feel like it can make it feel as not as less than basically than protected, quote unquote, protected self sex or natural sex, as he wants to call it. But I do think that natural, terming it natural, does the inverse. It makes people that want to have sex with a condom feel like that is less than, or it puts a certain connotation on it. So I do think that if we keep it as simple as calling it what it is, condomless or with a condom sex, if that is a phrase that I can
use. Raw, I guess.
Raw, bareback, all of those terms leave the judgment out of the type of sex that it is, and it allows us to just be, basically.
Yeah, I'll circle back as soon as we hear from Jeremy. When you heard this, what were your thoughts, Jeremy, about, you know, where he's coming from, about his unprotected sex, and what were your thoughts when you heard about this?
I think it would be a little bit difficult to change it. I don't mind his idea, but I also always have gone by safe or bare, and I just am okay with that terminology. I think it gets a little bit more complicated if you make it more wordy, and would change it to something else, but I do get where he's coming from with his statement.
I do too. And so I think unprotected sex always referred to, in general, HIV, correct? Mm-hmm. And we can all agree on that. And now I agree with him with the onset of PrEP that you are 99.9% free of not getting that. We do talk a lot about on this show of other things you can get, like STIs, and that aren't always covered by, you know, when you have sex without condoms. And so there's that issue. I agree with them, though, a little bit with it seems a little bit dated. And I don't know if natural sex is where I would go. I would just say sex. And then it's up to you and whoever you're having sex with to communicate the parameters that you were going to go forth with. So in other words, why don't just like call it what it is now? Because there's so many, like to your point, Jeremy, there's so many words in there and things, things like STIs that were never really covered when you used to use the term unprotected sex. They were for HIV, like I just said. So why not just call it what it is, sex? And it's a communication thing that you can really have with your partner and before you have sex, and make that dissertation on why you're going to do what you want to do and why you won't do certain things. And maybe that's just where we're coming. It is just sex, guys. Yeah. Just like we're talking about it. So I don't know. That's where we come on that. But I appreciate that, because as we continue to evolve and learn things about our sexuality, I always say we're such a new acronym, and in R6, we didn't get a lot of education growing up. So this is exciting times. And I like that you put that forward, GA Dog. We appreciate it. If you want to get advice, relationships, or sex advice from us, you can always reach out to us on our website. Go to tagspodcast.com or DM us on our Instagram page at tagspodcast. Okay. Well, I couldn't help. There's this interesting article that came out that Daniel Villarreal wrote, but he was really talking about a professor. This professor had done a study back in wrote an article back in 2014 talking about guys sending him dick pics after he wrote this 2014 article about locker room behavior. So a researcher says he had received over 300 pics of penises from queer and straight men seeking reassurance that they have a good size. Christopher Morris Roberts is an associate professor in body politics at London Metropolitan University in England. And he said that men have been sending him pictures in response to his article he wrote for the queer sports site OutSports. And in the article, he detailed interviews with four self-identified gay male athletes and four self-identified straight male athletes, both pro and semi-pro sports around London. And the interviews revealed that many men look at each other's cocks as a gauge to see how big or small they are, comparing themselves to the rest of the team or in men in the locker room. What his research revealed is that teammates with larger members were often idolized, given more respect, and given nicknames by teammates, which led to banter and team solidarity. Fatter teammates, his words, and those with smaller members were seen as having to work harder to be regarded as vital teammates. Mm. And his study found that gay teammates felt more self-conscious than straight ones when getting naked around older men, and that straight teammates sometimes aroused their penises to make them look bigger before stepping into the communal showers.
What?
That's called fluffing. So, and as a response, this researcher got all these people sending him dick pics, which he's like, stop sending to me. I'm not like the expert on this. It's just my research. But so we're so, I think, it got me thinking about locker room and back in the day on how I used to be so self-conscious in grade school or in high school when we'd have to shower after locker room, or even as a gymnast when we'd have to get naked. I was always so self-conscious about my body. I was self-conscious about size, or even little things like, are my nipples the same size or bigger, too yeah. big than other people's? And I was always surprised at the ones that could walk around the locker room so freely. Now I'm on a whole different spectrum and I can't take my clothes off quick enough. Cut to me at Leatherworks in Fort Lauderdale. And it's a great store where the windows are all blackened out. They have a naked shopping day on Wednesdays from 5 to 8, which I highly recommend. But I was trying on this loincloth and caused quite a stir on the show I was creating, being naked in the middle of the store in front of a mirror. And people, my friend kept saying that, oh, these guys keep coming by. And the salesperson kept, he was getting hard and he was only wearing a loincloth. He got hard. So it's just so interesting how full circle I've
circle
come.
Circle jerk.
I know. I just have come. So it's nice to see like a different side of myself from when I was a little boy. I don't know. Oh, wow. Madonna. Put her on later. But Jeremy, I got to ask you, were you self-conscious as a little kid, and has that changed for you now about whether it was locker room etiquette or comparing your body to others?
I think I'm still self-conscious in a locker room setting, and I am not as nervous as I used to be. Like when I was younger, I felt like I didn't belong there, and so I would always try and find a stall to change in, and was just like not self-conscious about my body parts or anything, really just self-conscious about being naked in a group setting with other guys. And I think I'm definitely more comfortable now, and I think less about it, but I'm still not like super secure in that setting specifically.
No, I hear you. Right. But definitely made some leaps and bounds from where you were as a little kid.
Oh, yeah. And I also don't think about it as seriously. And when I will change, it's a lot just like quicker and more normal and less thought in it, where before I would be like, make sure that my towel doesn't drop or any of that. And I don't think about it that seriously anymore.
Nice. Darling, Cody, it's hard to think of little Cody ever having an issue when all you have to do is go on to at Mr. Maurice and find countless half-naked pictures. But was there ever a time I asked the question?
Oh, man. I will be heretofore referred to as Big Cody, darling. Okay.
Got it.
Thank you very much, darling. But yeah, no, I'm definitely with you guys. When I was a kid, I used to be so ashamed to undress in front of other guys. I think part of me was subconsciously thinking about if other guys could pick up on the fact that I was gay. So I wouldn't want to change around them for fear of they or even really look at them and to see other guys being naked in the locker room. And I think that it boils down to me having internalized shame about being gay and really enjoying men's bodies as much as I do. So yeah, but I've like you guys, I've made leaps and bounds. You can find me on Mr. Maurice, darling. And and in the locker room, I am constantly naked, and I will look somebody right in the eyes while they're butt ass naked right in front of me.
Nice. Yeah. And I haven't been to a gay gym locker room in a long time.
So good.
Is it? Okay, I'm missing out. Okay, I gotta join a gym soon here. Okay, well, we love to give more advice. And on this Reddit thread, this one's kind of an interesting one. I want to know what you would do in this situation. Brace for this. Okay, so the guy writes, say you meet a guy, right, and he's beautiful, looks like Dominic Fike. You go, who's Dominic Fike?
I don't know. I was just about to Google him.
Okay. Do you know Jeremy?
No, I just Googled him.
Okay, got it. You guys Google, I'll read. You go over to his house and you guys chill. You guys go over to his house and you're chilling. And you know what? He says he has to use the restroom and comes out a few minutes later. Then you have to use the restroom. So you go in there and see the biggest turd you've ever seen in your life in the toilet. However, when you flushed it, it flushed with elegance and grace. You were shocked and disgusted. You try to sneak out of the bathroom, but he's right in front of you, naked, so there's no escape. He's so hot and you're so horny, you fuck him, and you're, to your surprise, your dick came out crystal clean. Should I keep seeing him? So before I hear that, somebody wrote, dude, I have no idea how to respond other than, so he poops, you poop. Should he have flushed? Yes, but at the end of the day, if you like him and like to fuck him, why stop? I think since he went ahead and fucked him anyway, he wasn't that disgusted. And so he shouldn't have even written about this, because it's going to keep it in his mind for good now. And it's imprinted now. And I think, you know, it is a little bizarre that the guy, I mean, didn't flush. I've tried to flush before and I've like overflown the toilet and it's just a whole, it's a mess, and try and get out of that situation. But what would you do in this situation, Jeremy?
I would be fine with it. I mean, it's awkward, but I think it's normal for people to shit. It's just that he really should have flushed, but I wouldn't judge just solely on that. And I think it is funny and an awkward situation, but if you like him, then like shitting and farting and all of that is normal. And
Well, let's not get crazy. I mean, especially not early on. I mean,
no, but I mean, you're still a human being and you're not like, you don't shit
that's
roses.
Debatable, but yeah.
And, but I think that you should know how to flush the fucking toilet.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I have one more thought on that, other than I would say, because I want to hear from you, Coney, is that I've been waiting since the guy was okay with it. I would want to see the next time. Is this like a whole thing? And I would say, dude, what's up with not flushing the toilet? And either make sure.
Right. Like if you get to know him after a few dates a little bit better, I would definitely not stay silent and I would say something. But
yeah.
And I would also just bring it up as a funny joke later on. But if it's always a thing, then no, bitch, you need to flush the toilet or this shit's not.
Well, Cody, the other thing I thought about is, do you think that he left it there? You know, like a dog, sometimes they're almost proud of, you know, they're like proud of it and they want, you know,
ew.
They wanted to show his new master practically.
Maybe it was a dumb job.
That he did a good job. And look, I am clean. I left it there for you to see and inspect if you choose to. But now we can have a good time because I'm crystal clean.
While you guys were talking, that is exactly what I was thinking. I was like, I cannot wait for my turn, because he was probably proud of his beautiful poop and he just wanted to show this guy. Oh my God, that's so funny to me.
Right, it wasn't diarrhea. I mean,
yeah. It's a beautiful, perfectly formed poop and he was proud of it. But yeah, that's so funny. That's hilarious to me. But I do think that I agree with you guys. Not flushing the toilet is it's a red flag. And if that red flag continues to happen over and over again, then we need to have a discussion. It needs to stop. Yeah, That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to get in trouble again this week.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to wonder if it was just an oversight or if it was really, you know.
It happens.
That you forget to flush the toilet that you just happened 2 seconds ago. I mean,
it also takes a lot of talent to be like so spotless clean after taking that big, huge.
Right, exactly. Maybe they went out for burritos earlier and he just wanted to make sure. I don't know.
It would be way messier than that for sure.
Chipotle shit.
Do not have Chipotle before. Yeah, especially taco. And I don't love Chipotle. I love tacos. I just came back from Puerto Vallarta, but taco breath isn't a good thing. So always clean that breath out. Lastly, somebody wrote this, and I want to get your guys' take on the best practice and how to take a good naked selfie. Before we get to your guys' take on it, somebody simply wrote, pay attention to what else is in the picture. We've all talked about this a lot. I know, Jeremy, you've mentioned this a lot. Clean up the room, make sure there's no toothpaste on the mirror, those kinds of things. You don't want that kind of thing on there. And what are your some other thoughts, Jeremy, on how to take a good naked selfie? Because I think you're really good at just selfies in general. But what about naked selfies?
I think it's also all about posing and like what accentuates the parts that you want to accentuate and what doesn't. So I think it's important to just be in the right stance and like, I don't know, either sitting or standing or just the right, your good angle and sides and like, whatever you're trying to show off or accentuate, I would make that the focus. But like you said, definitely clean your fucking room, make your bed, or wash your mirrors before you send any nude selfies.
You know, I read some good advice more in the thread, Cody, about things like, and I don't really agree with this because I'm guilty of it. Maybe that's why I don't agree with it. But the mirror selfie in the bathroom, some people were like, enough of that. Like, put that away. And I'm like, whatever.
No.
You don't have to get that hard and fast on it. But some of the advice that a lot of people did give was get a tripod and some good lighting and maneuver your body. Like, don't be afraid to use angles with your body. Mm-hmm. To Jeremy's point, accentuate the features, whether it's your ass, dick, chest, or, you know, a good angle can often feature it better. But what's some of your advice that you would give for taking a good naked selfie? And I know you have a ton of them.
Darling, yes. If you look through my photo album right now, it is basically all me naked all day, all time. Maybe it'll appear on my Instagram. Maybe it will not. But I agree with you both. Posing and angles they work wonders. But also lighting is something that's really, really important as far as taking a selfie is concerned. Because I feel like if it's too dark or if the light is a little bit strange, then it can make your body look a little bit less buff or not as beautiful as you would like it to look. And yeah,
question for you, Cody. Dick pic. What's the best way to take a dick pic?
Oh, wow. I take it from above, and I like to watch a little bit of porn beforehand to make sure it's nice and firm and erect. So, and I like the lighting on that to be very natural.
Got it.
Like the sun beaming into it. I normally take them in the morning or at night sometimes when I cut on this beautiful like lamp and it lights it just perfectly. I have a very specific way of taking dick pics. Oh, and if you take it while you're standing up and you take it looking like you're looking at your feet basically and your dick is just sticking straight out, that is also a really good angle for your penis.
I think it probably showcases it the best.
Yeah.
Jeremy, natural light or studio light?
I honestly like it laying down, like sticking straight up, but that's just my opinion.
But in terms of lighting, natural or studio light?
I think natural.
Okay. All right. I like it. I like it. I will experiment with all of these. This wasn't my request, but now I'm actually looking into taking some good naked selfies when I get back. So I'll let you know how I do. Oh my gosh, this has been so much fun. You know, a little shout out to this Wednesday's Tags Live when we have Body Electric instructor Craig Cullinane coming on the show, who's going to be talking about awakening your inner sexy man, healing body shame. Oh, that's great. And the 30-day porn cleanse. So all good stuff. That's Wednesday at 9 o'clock Eastern time with Cody and myself. And you can get the link by going to tagspodcast.com. Just click on Tags Live. I want to thank my co-host. So much fun, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it at always. You can follow Jeremy on Instagram at jrosslopez, jrosslopez. And you can follow Cody, like we said, at Mr. Maurice. But he's also a life coach. And follow that at KMD Coaching. And please follow me at @IAM_SteveV. @IAM_SteveV, or of course the show on all social media platforms, Tags Podcast, @TagsPodcast. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you, as always, babe.
Yeah. And in the
meantime,
in the meantime, continue having hot
gay
sex. Yes.